Laudator Jesus Christus, Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Monday, September 20th, a conference on safeguarding in Poland hears from a survivor of clerical sexual abuse. UNICEF warns that school children worldwide have lost 1.8 trillion hours of in-person learning due to the COVID-19 pandemic. And Caritas Switzerland calls on the food we eat to be more climate-friendly. In the Vatican, I'm Francesca Merlo. The Pontifical Commission for the Protection of Minors is holding a four-day safeguarding conference in the Polish capital of Warsaw. The event brings together church leaders from across Central and Eastern Europe to discuss how to protect the church's most vulnerable members. One keynote speaker at the event is Juan Carlos Cruz, a well-known survivor of clerical sexual abuse from Chile and a newly nominated member of the Pontifical Commission. Mr. Cruz told Devin Watkins that his mission is to bring the voice of survivors to the table as the church seeks to root out the scourge of clerical sexual abuse.
I want to try and insert the survivor's view of the commission and what's happening in the world. And I feel my job after this appointment is bring that view. It is instilling urgency, accountability, and hopefully consequences to organizations in the Vatican and in the church, in the local churches, that have this urgency to help survivors, because we're not doing a great job.
The survivors in Eastern Europe need a special kind of courage, given the history of communist repression in the region.
Survivors need extra courage everywhere. Some geographies have specific situations that might make it harder. If you think of survivors in Uganda, for example, where homosexuality, for example, is penalized, and they either die or go to jail. And I've met with survivors who are not homosexual, but they are scared of saying that they were abused by a priest because they're going to say, well, you're homosexual and they can die. So imagine how horrible that is. But yes, there's a lot of factors that influence different geographies where it makes it really difficult for survivors to tell their stories.
What are your hopes for the church in the region after this conference and moving forward?
Many years ago, I had the good fortune of speaking to survivors in Warsaw. It was organized by a survivors group. It wasn't organized by the church. And I remember it was done at a very confidential place, and we thought that no survivors would come, and like 100 came, and some were very, very scared because there was a lot of repression against survivors, and there still is. So my hope is that this gets visualized, it becomes a reality where bishops say, no, that's a problem of somewhere else, not here. No, it happens everywhere. And we need to be vigilant, and we need to help survivors. We need to believe them. We need to look after them. We need to have diligent processes to seek justice for them.
That was Juan Carlos Cruz, a well-known survivor of clerical sexual abuse from Chile and a newly nominated member of the Pontifical Commission for the Protection of Minors, speaking there to Devin Watkins. The bishops of Slovakia are encouraging the faithful to give generously in a charity collection to be taken up on the 26th of September for the brothers and sisters in need in Cuba, as part of the fruits of Pope Francis's recently concluded apostolic visit to the country. Father Benedict Majaki tells us more.
The Catholic bishops of Slovakia have announced a charity collection for the people of Cuba, where socioeconomic challenges made worse by the COVID-19 pandemic have made for difficult living conditions for citizens. The initiative, conceived by Slovakia's bishops and inspired by Pope Francis's recently concluded apostolic visit to the country, is intended to draw attention to the plight of the brothers and sisters in Cuba who are in difficulty but who remain neglected. Pope Francis visited Slovakia from the 12th to the 15th of September. In a statement on the website of the Bishops' Conference of Slovakia, the bishops encouraged the Slovak faithful to give generously during the collection, which will be taken up on Sunday, 26th of September, in parishes across the country. The bishops also note Pope Francis's repeated calls to help our brothers and sisters in need, adding that the aim is to share as others have shared with us in the past when we needed it. The economy in Cuba has seen a severe decline in recent times, and existing inequalities have been even more exacerbated by the coronavirus pandemic. In July, in the country's largest anti-government demonstrations in decades, Cubans took to the streets to protest against poor living conditions and the lack of basic amenities, including healthcare, amid the COVID-19 pandemic. Prior to the protests, the coronavirus health emergency had dealt a huge blow to the country's main source of revenue, tourism, which came to a halt as a result of travel restrictions. On top of that, widespread food and medicine shortages, as well as growing inflation, were already a source of dissatisfaction among Cuban citizens. With the arrival of the Delta variant, Cuba faced a further explosion of coronavirus cases, putting further pressure on the country's already strained health system. Cuba has recorded about 790,000 coronavirus cases with over 6,000 deaths throughout the pandemic. Currently, over 15 million vaccine doses have been administered so far in efforts to curb the spread of the pandemic. I'm Father Benedict Mayaki.
The United Nations Children's Fund, UNICEF, is calling on governments to reopen schools as soon as possible, saying schoolchildren worldwide have lost 1.8 trillion hours, and still counting, of in-person learning due to the COVID-19 pandemic and its subsequent lockdowns and restrictions. It lamented that millions of students are still not allowed to return to classrooms 18 months into the pandemic. Robin Gomes tells us more.
Ahead of the start of the 76th UN General Assembly at the UN headquarters in New York on Tuesday, UNICEF last week unveiled a clock called No Time to Lose in a classroom setting at the UN Visitors Plaza. The clock is a real-time counter in the form of a blackboard displaying the growing cumulative number of in-person learning hours every school child in the world has lost and continues to lose since the pandemic's onset. The scenario aims to draw the attention of delegations to the General Assembly, many of whom will be attending the meeting in person for the first time since the start of the pandemic. Reopen schools as soon as possible reads the bottom line on the blackboard. Young learners have been cut off from their education and other vital benefits schools provide. Globally, around 131 million schoolchildren in 11 countries have missed three-quarters of their in-person learning from March 2020 to September 2021. Among them, 59%, or nearly 77 million, have missed almost all in-person instruction time. Around 27% of countries continue to have schools fully or partially closed. Additionally, according to UNESCO's latest data, more than 870 million students at all levels are currently facing disruptions to their education. Schools in around 17 countries remain fully closed, while those in 39 countries remain partially closed, UNICEF said. Among those almost completely closed are schools usually attended by nearly 77 million students in Bangladesh, the Philippines, Venezuela, Saudi Arabia, Panama, and Kuwait. Bangladesh leads the list with 36.8 million. The Philippines, which is currently fighting one of Asia's worst coronavirus outbreaks and where a new school year started last week, comes next with 24.9 million students. Ahead of the start of the UN General Assembly, Secretary General Antonio Guterres said, "We must prioritize the reopening of schools and support those who have lost out during the pandemic. There is no time to lose," he urged. I am Robin Gomes.
Ahead of a United Nations summit on food systems to be held in New York later this week, Caritas Switzerland is calling for the food we eat to be more climate friendly. Lydia O'Kane reports.
There is a need for a change of course in favour of food that is more equitable, sustainable and crisis-proof. That's the view of Caritas Switzerland in a document released on Monday ahead of the United Nations summit on food systems to be held in New York on the 23rd of September. The document highlights that more than 800 million people in the world suffer from hunger, and this figure could soon exceed 1 billion due to global warming and the coronavirus crisis. One third of the world's population is undernourished and does not have access to sufficient healthy and balanced food. Caritas is therefore calling on Switzerland to reverse course and make a contribution to making world food more equitable, crisis-proof and climate friendly. Caritas Switzerland points out that what is urgently needed is a change in the agricultural and food model, aiming more strongly and consistently at agroecological agriculture, through which higher yields and incomes can be achieved by practicing cultivation that respects the soil and the environment. With this in in mind, the agency is appealing to the Swiss Federal Council and Parliament to commit themselves to this nationwide goal. The aim must be to make environmentally friendly, healthy and fairly produced food cheaper and more competitive. The adoption of trade policies must therefore be fair and respectful of the environment, so as to strengthen the human rights of small farmers and producers and to promote food security and sovereignty in the poorest countries, Caritas says. Recalling that environmental warming is advancing unstoppably and that every half degree increase brings with it significant extreme temperatures, increasing the intensity of heavy rainfall, intensifying drought periods in many regions and worsening the food base of the most deprived, Caritas is calling on Switzerland to assume its responsibility and act in a climate-friendly manner by a socially equitable adaptation of the requirements of the Paris Agreement and strengthening its international cooperation on climate issues. Ultimately, the document concludes, it is in Switzerland's interest to provide greater support to the poorest countries and to pursue a low-carbon and climate-friendly development path.
And finally, Canada's bishops are encouraging all Catholics in the country to vote in Monday's parliamentary elections, calling on them to follow their free and informed conscience. Christopher Wells tells us more.
The democratic duty of every citizen to vote in an election is likewise a gift and an opportunity to exercise civic and social responsibility, say Canada's bishops in a statement issued ahead of Monday's parliamentary elections. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau called the elections 2 years early in hopes of gaining a parliamentary majority, while the rival Conservative Party, led by Erin O'Toole, is hoping to unseat him. Polls show that neither Trudeau's Liberal Party nor the Conservative Party have enough public support to form a majority government. Three other parties, the Bloc Québécois, which fields candidates only in the French-speaking province of Quebec, along with the New Democratic Party and the Green Party, are also contesting the election. In their statement, the Canadian bishops urge all Catholics in Canada to vote in the election and call on every Canadian to follow their conscience when deciding on how to vote. They add that Catholics are called to discern their options on the basis of key principles of the Church's social doctrine, including respect for the sanctity of human life, the protection of religious freedom, and reconciliation with Indigenous peoples. The bishops also highlight care for the environment, efforts to eliminate poverty, promotion of a fair and equitable economy, defense of the rights of workers, and the establishment of peace as vital concerns in the elections. By carefully considering our choices, they say, we help shape the fabric of the society in which we live, as well as the legacy we are leaving to younger Canadians. Faced with difficult choices, the bishops encourage the faithful, in addition to informing one's conscience, reflecting deeply, and sharing with others, to invoke the Holy Spirit for an outpouring of His manifold gifts, so that the electoral process and whatever lies ahead for us may be marked by enduring peace, justice, respect, and social order, so that together we strive to build a brighter future for all. I'm Christopher Wells.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more of these and other stories, please be sure to visit our web portal at www.vaticannews.va, where you can also find all our broadcasts in podcast form. And please don't forget to catch the latest updates on our Facebook page and Twitter feed. Many thanks go to Patrizio Ciprari in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Francesca Merlo.